Wyoming State Treasurer Mark Gordon is looking for a promotion. Gordon is among those who are seeking the Republican nomination for governor. Before first being appointed treasurer following the death of Joe Meyer, Gordon was a Johnson County rancher and a small businessman. He tells me that he got into this race for a variety of reasons, including finding creative ways to enhance Wyoming's revenue while trying to help the state live within its means.
I pushed very hard this year and think that we need to continue to reduce our spending. There are some cuts, I think, that come, but I don't think it can be done on a kind of blanket, let's cut 10% here or something else. I think we really have to take a look from the bottom to the top. I've recommended we start with the Constitution. What are the things that we need to do constitutionally? Then we can start building it out and build a little bit stronger culture that is cost conscious. And I think that's an effort we're just going to have to engage with.
Education, is that an area where you would continue the process of looking for cuts there as well?
Yeah, I think, Bob, on education, each school district is different. We've talked a little bit in the office about how do we get more current income. Then I think I go to the school districts. I look at Bighorn One, for example, and they say, boy, we could consolidate. You go to Park 16, a whole different matter. And so I think letting school districts themselves and their boards getting some more accountability, get a little bit more local control, and really push, and I've tried to do this the last couple of years, push exactly what the circumstances are. The conversation so far has been, well, we've got $20 billion, Mr. Treasurer, you talk about that on a regular basis. Why are we talking about cutting? The fact of the matter is, and I think you and I have talked about this, that $20 billion is really broken down in three pies. The Permanent Mineral Trust Fund, can't spend that. Mm-hmm. What's there for education, that's what's going to fund it, and the state agency pool, and we have a whole bunch of other things out of that. So I think getting realistic about what the funding future is and letting those districts come to their own conclusions about how to make some cuts there. And then I think also this efficiency study has some things that could be looked at.
Well, and I want to ask you, in your view, what is reality when it comes to the revenue future when you suggest there's maybe a $1 billion deficit down the road facing us as far as revenue coming in? Are there ways we can fix that? Are there anything we can do? Or are we just going to have to figure out a way to come up with $1 billion?
Well, we have sort of figured out a way to come up with $1 billion, at least for a short time. And that's my big concern here, is how sustainable is that?
Right.
You know, we dug in on many of the so-called coffee cans this year to do the House solution, and then we have the LISRA a year out. My biggest problem, Bob, is that we are borrowing from the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. We're borrowing from the Common School Fund. We do this with a 0% interest rate payback, and so we're really robbing from future generations. That's got to stop. I think you've got to sort of take a serious look at that efficiency study. Reportedly, there's $200 million that can be found there. There's more that can happen a little bit. A good conversation about that could be helpful. I also think that just getting serious about what are the things that we absolutely have to do at this particular juncture, and then setting up funds that that can help address those costs in the future, I think, are two possibilities we can have, but it does mean we're going to have to cut back on some of the stuff we do today.
Mark Gordon visiting with us. Everybody's lining up on the Republican side, I noticed, to talk about wanting to have taxes. I'm teasing, of course, but are you holding off on that discussion as well?
The tax question in Wyoming is an interesting one. Obviously, 70% of our tax income comes from the mineral industry. We've, in our office, worked that we just finished the Atlas Carbon deal, value-added proposition, activated charcoal. It's going to go out of state. It's actually going to add to the tax benefit. There was a story recently about, as we diversify the economy, our tax is going to be carried into that. That was actually work that the treasurer was commissioned under statute, that we commissioned with regard to one of the economic development loans that we were looking at. I wanted to make sure that got out into the public so that we have a real discussion about that. I don't believe we need to raise taxes. I do think we need to diversify the tax structure somewhat. And, you know, it seems like that's something Governor Mead's talking about, too. But I think we have to have that conversation going forward.
In other words, making it more fair.
I think, yeah, we have to discuss that. What is fair, and how do we make it more fair?
Wondering your thoughts on diversifying the economy, and just maybe a direct question: are you a fan of Endow? Are you supporting those efforts, and would you continue to support that as you move forward if you get elected?
Yeah, well, yeah, two answers to that. One is I think there are some pieces of Endow that are incredibly important. You know, the broadband initiative is obviously one. It's a little unclear how the air service initiative is going to fare. There's a question about sustainability. Overall, I think it's a good effort, and I think it will make a difference for a lot of communities, Riverton and Rock Springs, that are going to have challenges coming forward to make sure they have that air service that's so vital to their mm-hmm. economic future. But I've mentioned this before. Back in the 1980s, my boss at Apache Corporation, oil and gas company, put a lot of money into something called the Wyoming Futures Project. And we had huge focus groups, and he even took over the Casper Events Center for a statewide conversation about what we were going to do with the economic future. Virtually none of the recommendations were ever put in place. I asked Raymond about that recently, and he said, Mark, you know, it was never really about those recommendations. It was about having the conversation. And in that respect, you know, Wyoming needs to have this conversation. We need to diversify our economy.
But you also had the conversation, then absolutely nothing happened. How do we make sure that these suggestions go forward and maybe implement some of the things that obviously make sense?
Well, I wouldn't agree with you that nothing happened. I mean, we built a business in Sheridan that was a mail order catalog business that was affiliated with a very large international tour organization, Abercrombie and Kent, and it was because of many of the things that were found in that study. One of the things they said is that for all these energy executives that are there, there are spouses that are highly educated, looking for things to do, anxious to try to build enterprises. And so from my standpoint, it identified lots of opportunities. I am not a big believer in government being able to solve these problems. I think government can underlay what the foundations ought to be, but I don't think government should be trying to figure out what's going to work here or what's not. That's going to be the province of entrepreneurs and people like myself. We built our business and grew it. We also expanded into agriculture.
Mm-hmm. Mark Gordon visiting with us again. He's one of your Republican candidates for governor. Want to ask you a little bit about one area that I think a lot of people, when they talk about economic development, they circle and say is a problem in our state, and it's about healthcare. What are we going to do about the fact that you've just got these large areas where you can't get mental health services, you can't get daily healthcare services? What are we going to be able to do about that?
Well, I've served on the Northern Wyoming Mental Health Center. I know exactly some of the challenges that we have. We served Johnson, Sheridan, Crook, and Weston counties, the remote services, and so on. People often talk about how great telemedicine is, and I think it is truly telemedicine. But if I've got somebody who's, you know, 90 miles away on a Skype connection, that may not be the most ideal circumstance. Also serve on Volunteers of America. I look at this a little bit differently. I know we have challenges and we're going to have to address those. I think there are some things you can look at in Alaska where they've taken some of the medical challenges like pregnancy and so on and made a conscious decision. How can we help lower those premiums for that? You can look at what Butch Otter has done over in Idaho and talk about the skinny plans and are there some possibilities to be able to do better coverage. All of those ought to be looked at. But I come back to saying the medical centers in our counties are often some of the largest employers that we have. And when you think about what's happening in medicine generally, you know, the VA started a few years ago with allowing veterans to get their pacemakers hooked up to the cell, to their phones, and they could monitor their health. And now as we look at rural delivery, a state like Wyoming offers an incredible opportunity to be able to not only develop the hardware and the software, but also the response mechanisms and the models that can allow places like Sage West and Riverton to service places in Dubois. And maybe that means setting off some assets, physician's assistants or something else that can be responsive, but building the kind of technology that that they're looking at, where I can put my thumb on a sensor of some sort, and it can give me a reading of what my vital stats are.
But the mental health thing, though, continues to be this huge problem, and I just came from a discussion on our corrections future. Lots of concern about providing more services to people, both to keep them from going to prison and those who are violating their probation and parole. You've got this huge suicide issue that we've all talked about for years and years and years. This just seems like a piece that has to be addressed in some way. Do you argue that it's not a government issue, or what do you think about that?
No, I think this is absolutely something we've got to address. Young man in KC just a couple of weeks ago, back from two tours in Iraq, took his own life, sadly, not long after he was married. And, you know, it happened in Texas, but that's the sort of story you hear often here. And nationally, I think the Veterans Association has got to address this in a better way. Here in the state of Wyoming, as I've said, with Volunteers of America, we've looked at what are the ways that we can address some of these issues. A piece of it is about spirituality. A piece of it is about having the resources available locally. And I think it is a commitment we've got to do. It's actually a cost savings in some ways, because if we can treat somebody in place, in the community they know, with the people around them that they know and that love them, often we can avoid having to institutionalize them or send them somewhere for treatment. So I think that whole model has to be looked at. We've looked at it for years, but that doesn't mean we have a solution or there isn't a solution that's available.
Mark Gordon, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.